test, test. Hey, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs 4. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching, do not abandon my instruction. When I was a son to my father, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother, then he taught me and said to me, Let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. The beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Hear, my son, and accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have directed you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded, and if you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and with all your ways and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Amen. So if you remember before, he would say in the salutation, my son, now he shifts it. Now he says, hear, O sons. And so now he's making a plea, not just to Solomon, but to all of his children. Solomon had many children, as well as, David had many children, even with Bathsheba. And so let's just go along this. And so he says, hear, O sons, the instruction of a father. Give attention that you may gain understanding, for I give you sound teaching, and do not abandon my instruction. The first two verses are important for us, or should be very important for us. In Jewish tradition, and I think should also be the same for us, the primary teacher in the family was the father. And so if you look through the Old Testament writings, it was really the responsibility of the father, obviously, and the mother as well. So I'm not saying one's excluded from both of them from actually teaching their children. It wasn't the school system. It wasn't their kind of Sunday school teacher, or anything like that. It was the father. And so, home learning, this is where most of the values, most of the understanding really came from. And so, my plea to all the parents that are here that have kids, remember, you're not just the primary caretaker of your children, but you're the primary teacher in your family. Do not just pawn that off to your Sunday school teacher. Do not pawn that off to your school teacher. They are simply there to supplement what you are teaching your children at home. I cannot emphasize this even more. In fact, there is a whole movement even within the church. And for a long time, it was, kids came to Sunday school, and, the church spent a lot of time teaching the kids and sent them back, which is, still kind of happens, but the whole reflection came, and this movement's probably been happening probably the last 30 years or so. And now a lot of churches, including our church, have really come to this idea of family learning. The reality is, and I learned this as when I was a youth pastor. I have my youth group kids for basically 4 hours a week. I had them 2 hours on Friday night, and I had them 2 hours on Sunday. And so I'm trying to teach my kids 4 hours a week. And then sometimes if they're in discipleship, that's another, but that's at the max, okay? These are the most dedicated kids, at the max, 6 hours a week. And so we're teaching them, but then, man, they spend hundreds of hours at home. I can't tell you how frustrated I was when, as a youth pastor, when I'm teaching my kids on, you know, Friday night, Sunday, other days, and then their parents would tell them something totally contradictory, and their parents were like elders and deacons in the church. I sat in my senior pastor's office many times, you know, and said, you know, Pastor Kim, you need to rebuke these parents, right? They're teaching really, really erroneous things that are actually contrary to the Bible. And so, I recognize even back then that the true learning, right, has to take place at home. And this is basically Solomon's charge to his children. Right? He recognizes he is the primary teacher of his children. Right? And so we need to be very, very aware of our responsibility as parents in this way. And so he charges them, and then he reflects upon himself. You know, when I was a son to my father, verse 3, tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. Now, obviously, like I said, his mother is Bathsheba. We know in the Bible Bathsheba had many other children, but he was like the most favored child in this way. And so, which actually is not a good thing in the Bible. The favoritism in the Bible is probably the greatest sin that these parents make to their families and causes all kinds of troubles. And so it's another lesson for parents. Okay, let's be honest and say you may have a favorite, okay? Or there may be a child that is just so much warmer to you and those things, but don't tell them. Right? Don't let them know. Don't have any bias in the way that you raise your kids. This is really important. But he says that. Verse 3, he said, when I was a son, the word is I was a true son. And so he was not a son. And in Jewish custom, you could actually be disowned as a result of your disobedience. So he was a true son. He was an obedient son. And tender and the only son in the sight of my mother. And he says, and then he taught me, this is David now, then he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will guard you. Love her and she will watch over you. Verse 7, the beginning of wisdom is this, acquire wisdom, right? So, the idea, the word acquire here in Hebrew is better translated as purchase. So this is talking about some kind of financial transaction that takes place. Obviously, you can't purchase wisdom, but what David is trying to say, he's just simply trying to say that when you're doing this thing, right, when you're really after it, the wisdom is going to cost something to you. Wisdom is going to be pricey. There's going to be lessons of wisdom. It's going to take your time. Sometimes it will take your treasure. It will definitely take your talents. And this is something that we just don't just leave for happenstance. We actually go out and purchase it. See, it's one thing, and you could think about it this way, just simply shopping. There clearly can be something that you want. Like you want those shorts, you know, or I know this is very shallow, okay? But you want that shirt, or you've been eyeing it. It's one thing to want it. It's a whole other thing to go and buy it, to take your hard-earned money and go and purchase that thing. In that same way, it's not good enough just to say, oh, I would like some wisdom, and just leave it at that. Yeah, I wouldn't mind a little bit of wisdom here in this situation. No, you have to seek after it with all of your heart. Pastor Bob was here talking about the parable of the sower. If you remember when we're going through during the fast, and I was teaching on the parable of the sower, you know, a lot of connections. And remember I said the parable of the sower is actually the parable that explains every parable. It really is the one story that actually explains all the parables in the Bible. And basically what that is the one with a good heart, and I know Bob went much deeper than I did in relation to that. The idea of the parable is it incites you to dig further. The idea of the parable, because it is mysterious, it's a very poetic and all these things, and there's a story, but there's a moral to the story. In order for you to understand what the moral of the story is, or exactly what Jesus is trying to say, you have to seek after it. And in Mark, the disciples approach Jesus and say, "Hey, what does this mean?" That proves in one way that they have a good heart because they sought after it. That parable explains every parable. In that same way, when we think of the parables, when we look at wisdom, wisdom is something to seek after. Wisdom is something to question. Wisdom is something that we spend our time on. Wisdom is something that we give ourselves to in this way. We don't just say, you know what, I would like some wisdom. Wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom. Purchase it. The father is saying to the son, "Son, this is going to cost you something. There's going to be some labor involved in finding this out. And so please do this. And with all your acquiring, with all your buying, get understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace and will present you with a crown of beauty." Then, and a lot of times what Proverbs does, and the beauty of Proverbs is it's a compare and contrast. It compares a contrast of the wicked, and it compares in contrast the way of the righteous. And so we see that the author just very plainly leave it out. And so he tells him here, "Here, my son," we'll go from verse 10, it shifts now, "accept my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I've directed you in the way of wisdom, and I've led you in upright paths. When you walk, your steps will not be impeded. If you run, you will not stumble. Take hold of instruction. Do not let go. Guard her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men." This verse kind of typifies, like, don't take that first step. No one starts off by... Excuse the kind of the hyperbole. No one goes off by murdering someone straight off the bat. There was an interview that was done years ago. One of the most prolific serial killers in America, this guy named Ted Bundy, and some of you guys are maybe very familiar with him. And so while he was in prison, he was on death row, and he was interviewed by James Dobson of Focus on the Family. And so James Dobson is a very famous psychiatrist or psychologist, I think. And he runs this global ministry of raising families and kids. And he interviewed him. And he asked him, basically, how did you get to this point? You know, how did you get to this point where you're like, you are raping women, right, and then murdering them? And it was a progression. And Bundy in this very honest discussion said it all started with pornography. It all started by looking at pictures, right, and then films, and then it got like more graphic and more darker, and you know what I mean, and just like this spiral that happened. And then it eventually, I just couldn't get enough. And then I had to rape people. And then from that place, and then next thing you know, I had to start murdering them, you know, to get that same fix, that same idea. David is trying to tell his son, and then Solomon is trying to tell his sons, that's what wickedness does. It just starts with one little step, right? It's not just the end goal of it all. That you know, like someone's totally lost. It always starts with one step. And so his plea as a father says, don't even take that step. Don't even start approaching, right, this level, right? She says, do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't even take one step toward that place, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. In other words, that the idea is every single one of us, we will have temptation. Temptations will come our way, right? There is no temptation except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. But when we are tempted, he'll provide a way out that we may stand up under it. We learn this in GIC. Temptation comes to all of us. It's common to everyone. But when that temptation comes, don't even entertain it. Don't even take a step into that place. Avoid it. Pass by it. Turn away from it and pass on. And so, and this is the contrast. So, because when you go down that path, next thing you know, they cannot sleep unless they do evil. In other words, they will never be satisfied because this evil will keep growing inside of them. And they drink the wine of violence. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. You see how the contrast, evil, darkness, righteousness, light, evil, sleeplessness, righteousness, rest, right? The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight and keep them in the midst of your heart. For they are life to those who find them and hell to all their body. Watch over your heart with all diligence. So this is right, good for your soul, good for your body. It says the main thing is keep your heart pure. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Many times, you know how evil starts? It starts with our tongue. It starts with the things that we say to one another. And he says, and let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right nor to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And this is a very common kind of symbolism that's in, especially the Old Testament, of don't go to your left, don't go to your right, just walk that straight path. And that's kind of the idea. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Acquire wisdom. Purchase it. Buy it. Spend time asking God. And Solomon could be an expert in this because he sought after the wisdom of God. He cried out for it. And finally, when the Lord came to him and asked him, what do you want? How valuable was wisdom? He said, Lord, that's what I want. I want wisdom. I want wisdom to lead. And God said, you got it. He sought after it. It didn't come easy for him. Now, obviously, we can intersperse the word wisdom with God in many ways. Right? How are we seeking after God? Wisdom, in a simple definition, would just simply be the ways of God. What God would do in this situation. And let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Are you seeking after this wisdom? Or are you relying, as you make decisions in your life, are you relying on your spreadsheets? Are you relying on your pros and cons? In other words, are you relying on yourself? Or are you relying and seeking God? Let's sing and let's pray this morning. Maybe you're going through a situation in your life right now. Ask for His wisdom to come. He'll grant it to you. Ask for His understanding. Like I said, you're basically just praying God's ways. It may be in stark contrast to our ways. That's what Isaiah 55 says. But ask Him, and He will reveal to you. Right? Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. Let's pray.